You are listening to the International Radio Report. Your reactions are much appreciated. Feel free to send them to radioreport@yahoo.com. That is radioreport@yahoo.com. Thank you.
Welcome to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. My name's Sheldon. I'm here with Jill. We thank you for tuning in to our 30 minutes of news and information from the world of radio. We have an email address for you, radioreport@yahoo.com, if you'd like to reach us. Our program's live streaming and archived at ckut.ca. We invite you to join our Facebook group. We have a bunch of new members this week. We welcome Dave, Chris, Alfonso, Frank, and our friends at Texas Radio Shortwave who've joined our group as well. You can find us along with the 818 other members on Facebook. Just look for International Radio Report. And if you'd like to listen to the show again or at your leisure and previous editions of the show, check our YouTube channel, which is also International Radio Report. We have 667 subscribers there. On the Facebook page, if you have stories you want to pass along to us, feel free to do so. Any comments you have on stories that we post up there, always like to hear from our listeners. So we'll get going right away with some local news from Montreal, and this is a sad story. Another long-time, well-respected radio broadcaster in Montreal has passed away. Anyone who'd listened to CJD radio in Montreal over the years would know the name of Dave Fisher. Former, a longtime CJD 800 broadcaster Dave Fisher has died at the age of 71, according to his family. He passed away on Wednesday this week after a sudden heart attack. Fisher was a broadcaster with CJD radio in Montreal for 32 years, retiring in 2016. He was hired at CJD in 1984 on the day that he was fired from CFCF radio at the time on 600 kilohertz in Montreal. His last show on CJD was a live audience version of his popular Sunday morning trivia show. He amassed a devoted audience while hosting the station's weekly trivia show, and many of his colleagues, former and recent, have come out with Twitter comments and what have you. From Robin Flynn, very sad news indeed. I have nothing but fond memories of working with Dave Fisher at CJD. Rest in peace, old friend. Sean Dern says Dave Fisher was a radio legend in this town, a real pro, kind to student journalists, and a mentor to many. And James Many says Dave Fisher was the best. A well done from him after an on-air segment was priceless, and I shall always be proud that I was lucky enough to work with him. And there's many, many other tributes coming through. At his prime on CJD, he worked weekends. He did not want to be involved in the day-to-day weekday, even though he'd been offered things like the morning show on weekdays. He was quite content doing his weekend show. It was Mornings with Dave for all those years on CJD on Saturday and Sunday mornings. And it turned out that of all of the radio broadcasters in Montreal in those years, his morning show on the weekends was number one rated, followed by two other shows. He did a car show, which was advice on cars, a call-in show, and then the trivia show. They all followed each other in the mornings on the weekends, and all three of those shows were the top-rated shows in Montreal, English and French, during that time period on weekends. So many of the big, big names in Montreal broadcasting have gone in the last number of years, and this was just another one of them. 71, though, kind of young, didn't get a long-time retirement, unfortunately. There are many, many articles. We'll post up a couple others that have come out since, and tribute articles that are popping up all over the place. So we mark Dave Fisher's passing this week at the age of 71.
We often talk about how radio has become boring today, and, you know, you think of these guys that have been in radio in the past for such a long time, quite a few in the English side, quite a few in the Francophone side also that passed away. In my head, it brings me all the way that they shaped radio in the past and how radio sounded in the past. And there was something about it that was so much more interesting. And it had to do with these personalities that drove us to the radio. We wanted to listen when they were on the air. There was something different than today where there's not a lot of you know, we can't say there's a lot of personalities driving us to the radio today.
Yeah, what you'll find in many of the articles about Dave Fisher is that Dave Fisher was the same guy on the radio and off the radio, which is something that, you know, we've heard from a lot of people over the years that, you know, there's a persona on the radio and then the person in real life is quite different. Apparently, what you heard on the radio was Dave Fisher. That's who he was. And you know, if you met him off the radio, he was the same guy. So I think that's what really, you know, hit a lot of people when hearing of his passing.
So we got a story about a Quebec personality and comedian and radio show host, Philip Bond, that is stepping away from public life following sexual assault allegations. This is via the CBC News Montreal. Quebec comedian and radio host Philip Bond says he will remove himself from public life after an article in La Presse reported a string of sexual assault allegations from eight women. The French language digital newspaper detailed the allegations in an investigation published early Thursday morning. CBC Radio-Canada was not able to verify the allegations. Shortly after the article was published, Bond posted a statement in his Instagram account. He said he was floored by what he'd read in the story and that he didn't recognize himself in the accounts the story reported. Out of respect for my collaborators and my employers with whom I've worked for years and because I want to avoid them having to answer an avalanche of questions from journalists, I am withdrawing from everything, as much from public life as for radio and live shows, Bond wrote. He added that he was concerned by what he, his wife, and children will have to face because there is nothing more important to me than them. Bond's website and Facebook page have been deactivated, and performances scheduled at the Alphonse Desjardins Theatre in Repentigny have cancelled. Bond co-hosted the popular radio show C'est encore drôle on Radio Énergie in Montreal. Three performances of his show Merci were also scheduled to take place before the end of the year, but the show's promoter, Evenco, said Thursday afternoon that all of his performances are cancelled. Venues will be reaching out to ticket holders about refunds. Bond graduated from the Montreal-based École Nationale de l'Humour in 2002. He got his start as a host on Radio Énergie in Hull. He has appeared in several comedy festivals in the province since then. In May, Bond pleaded guilty to a charge of driving with a blood alcohol level exceeding the legal limit. Quebec Premier François Legault reacted to La Presse reporting Thursday. He said he didn't want to comment on Bond's specific case, but he called it worrisome. I invite all victims to come forward, Legault said. There is no space for this behavior in our society in 2022. Just for Laughs, the group that run the hugely popular Montreal Comedy Festival, released a statement Thursday afternoon saying it wanted to highlight the courage of the eight women who came forward with their allegations in the media report. The founder of Just for Laughs, Gilbert Rozon, was accused of sexual assault in a wave of Me Too allegations, but was acquitted of charges of rape and indecent assault in December 2020. Of course, these are just allegations. Probably a good idea to just step away for a moment and wait for things to continue and see what happens next.
A big story like this, it's in all the media, English and French, you know, a well-known personality who was, as you were saying before, or talking about him before the show, a rising star, probably, you know, one of the top media personalities in the province. For something like this to come out, I guess he's, like you say, he's going to back away, and we'll see where all the cards fall. If there are, in fact, eight people coming forward, there's going to be a lot of investigation into this. So we'll probably be hearing more of this story in the weeks and months ahead.
Yep, definitely.
We next move into New York City. We haven't talked about pirate radio trackdowns recently. We had quite a few stories as new laws and regulations were coming in from the FCC. We have a story from Paul McLean in Radio World that was posted by Tom Sundstrom from New Jersey. New York City area landlords get pirate letters. Now, we had talked about this, where if someone has a property and they willingly know that there's a pirate radio station operating in their building or in their premises, they're as much at fault as the person broadcasting. So this is starting to come into effect, it seems. Continuing in its efforts to fight illegal broadcasts, the Federal Communications Commission has sent notices to five property owners and managers in and around New York City. The letters from the Enforcement Bureau inform the owners that the FCC, after receiving complaints, traced unlicensed signals to each property in April, May, or June. These letters inform the owners that under federal law, anyone who allows pirate broadcasting on a property can face significant penalties, up to $2.1 million. The recipients are given 10 business days to show that they are no longer permitting pirate radio on their properties and to identify individuals engaged in pirate radio on the property that they own or manage. And these are the people. Paul Wilfred got a notice about broadcasts on 90.9 megahertz in Cambria Heights. Jean-Yvon Francois and Elsie Francois Lapomarede got a letter about signals on 87.9 in Brooklyn. 2062 Holding Company and its CEO Abe Soloff received a notice for a complaint of unlicensed broadcasts on 105.7 in the Bronx. Rachel Bridge Corporation and its management agent Solomon Schwimmer were sent a notice about transmissions on 93.3 near Washington Heights. And Michelle Hepburn got a notice regarding 104.5 in Mount Vernon, New York. This is the latest in a series of such FCC announcements. New York's obviously a hotbed for pirate operation on FM in particular. And these are the ones that we've always said that, you know, the FCC is really going to be chasing, because the chances of them interfering with licensed radio stations is highly likely. You know, they're pretty well spread around the whole New York City area. So this will be, I guess, maybe an example with these five to see how the owners of the properties respond, whether or not they know that there's been pirate activity in their building. Maybe some of them might have even been involved in the pirate operations. Yep. We don't really know at this point, but obviously they have 10 days to respond, and we'll see what happens with those. But so the enforcers are getting down to business is what it comes down to.
Yeah, we were wondering about that, because when we heard about the changes in the regulations and that they could go after the people that actually have those buildings and properties, well, now we know that, it was serious stuff. They are going after them. Like you said, you know, do they know about it or not? That's another story. Some probably do. But, you know, I think you can also say that there are probably some that don't even know. You know, somebody like me would set up a pirate station here. My landlord would not know anything about it.
Well, that's, you know, that's the one thing that they don't mention here. You know, it's quite possible that many of these owners don't live in the same premises.
Yep.
You know, they just own properties and they live somewhere else. May not, you know, you think, wow, there's got to be some antenna up on a balcony or on a roof or something. But if they don't live there, you know, and they get the rent check every month, that's basically probably all they care about.
Yep.
So if there's some sort of illegal activity going on that they don't know about, well, now they do. So I guess they'll be knocking on a few doors, maybe, unless it's themselves that are doing the broadcasting.
And how many of them actually know that pirate radio exists also?
Exactly. Yeah. What's going on? What are you talking about, radio? You know, so this will be an interesting exercise to see how this first round plays out.
So what's happening with our sun? Well, we have a lot of sunspot groups. There was a couple of days with some minor geomagnetic storming going on, so conditions weren't always as good as they could be, but things are quieting down a little. There's a probability of some geomagnetic storming still going on as the show is playing on CKUT. Doesn't mean you won't hear it, because this affects mostly shortwave, not FM radio in general. But this week ahead should be rather quiet for now. We'll see what's going to happen. The funny thing about the geomagnetic storming that's going on is that it's not really a sunspot that created this problem. It's a solar tsunami that erupted, which was a big band of magnetism above the sun that actually just snapped. So it was not really linked to any sunspots. So you don't always need sunspots to actually create solar flares and coronal mass ejections. And so the solar flux is at around 130. It reached a very high peak of about 170 this week, or in the beginning of the week, which was nice. Sunspot number 124. And let's hope that conditions continue to be nice and beautiful on the shortwave bands. And there's only one way to really know what's happening. It's to turn on a radio and listen.
Hi, I'm Mickey Delmage of Sherwood Park, Alberta. Hear the latest information from the world of radio, locally and internationally, each week on the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal and online at ckut.ca.
So we have an interesting story here, and it asks a actually very good question. Why are some automakers ditching AM radio? So this is a story by L. Kurz for Radio World. While electric vehicles can serve as a tool to help curb our fossil fuel dependency, they also pose a surprisingly large threat to the radio industry, more specifically AM radio. Some EV automakers are dropping AM altogether due to the audio quality concerns, but that's just one piece of the puzzle as radio continues to fight for space on the dash. Electromagnetic frequencies generated by the EV motors occupy the same wavelength as AM radio signals. The competing signals clash, effectively canceling each other out. As EV motors grow more powerful, AM static tends to increase. Generally speaking, this is causing more and more EV automakers to box out AM radio. As James Gilboy of The Drive mentions in a recent article, EVs from Audi, BMW, Porsche, Tesla, and Volvo are already sold without AM radios, and it's been that way for years. According to Gilboy, BMW and Volvo said they left AM in the dust due to the audio quality problems rooted in electromagnetic interference, as previously mentioned, of which EVs drive trains produce a significant amount. He said cars' engines and other complex electronics have always made electromagnetic interference, but low-wattage static is relatively easy to shield against. Although not all automakers have ditched the service, Ford, General Motors, and Stellantis have produced or currently make EVs that include AM radio, even on flagship models, said Gilboy. That goes for everything from the Ford F-150, Lightning, and Mustang Mach-E to the Chevy Bolt EUV and the GMC Hummer, among others. Looking at this issue with a wider scope, AM-FM listening on average is slowly trending down, according to Jacobs Media annual tech survey findings. The percent of people who listen to AM-FM radio on any kind of device for 1 hour or more each weekday stands at 86% in the 2022 survey. That's a dip from 88% in 2021 and 90% in 2020. So that's not a big dip, actually. 86% is still a very high number. I'd rather look at it in the positive way than the negative way they're trying to post it here. But look, electric cars definitely is a big challenge for AM radio. Anything that has electric motors, anything that has a lot of electricity around it and magnetic fields is going to have an impact on AM radio. Now, how can you fix that? Of course, it means you got to shield all of it. Shielding it means it costs more to make the car, and that's probably much more where they are. We don't want to add cost to manufacturing, so we're not going to shield, and we're not going to put AM radios.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Much of the information that people get in their cars, if they're looking for traffic information, news, weather, that sort of thing, often it's AM radio stations, like the big all news stations and things like that. If you can't get those in your car, FM stations are predominantly playing music. So you may have difficulty tracking that down. You may have to maybe pull over and look at your phone or something like that. Yeah. Who knows what people may do. But I think it's cost probably more than anything. And they're probably using numbers. There's a lot of talk about AM radios dying and everything's going to disappear and all that. So I think they're combining that with, why should we spend the money? Nobody's going to use that anymore anyways. So
the perfect example here is how that article ends. You see, they're trying to hint that radio's dying, but in reality, they take a number that's huge, 86%.
Yeah.
And down from 90, well, I don't consider that dying media. I consider that still a huge number.
Yeah. Dropping from 90 in, you know, 2 years ago to 86 now is, you know, that's stretching it if they're trying to make that into a negative. So,
yep.
Yeah, the number is negative, but it's overall, it's still a pretty high number.
Absolutely.
So we'll see what happens. If you have an electric car out there and you do have an AM FM radio, consider yourself lucky. Because in the future, it looks like you may not be able to have one. We move over to Greece with a story from the Deutsche Welle German service news via Radio World. News and radio office hit in firebomb attack. The office of the Greek news outlet Real News and Real FM Radio in Athens was set ablaze on Wednesday in an apparent arson attack, the media group said. The blast came in the early hours of the morning and took 18 firefighters 2 hours to bring under control. Police were evacuated, with some being taken to the hospital with respiratory problems. Police investigating the cause of the fire said they had found several gas canisters taped together on an outside staircase between the basement and the first floor of the building. They set Real FM on fire. They're burning us. Three explosions, and now we're on fire, said Nikos Chatsinikoulou, wrote on Twitter. Police were also in contact with the anti-terrorism agencies, the Real News website stated. The outlet reported that preliminary information pointed to a connection with the ongoing hunger strike by the imprisoned anarchist Yanis Mikalidis. It also pointed to serious damage dealt to the broadcaster's transmission equipment on Tuesday, which is said could have been linked to Wednesday's attack. Two incidents that are difficult to consider random. Someone is trying to shut down Real FM, the website said. Real News is a center-left outlet that features both pro- and anti-government voices. A Greek Prime Minister, Kyriakos Mitsotakis, said the state will do everything to bring the perpetrators to justice. Any attempt to target journalists must be condemned, he added. Greece recently fell 38 places in the International Press Freedom Index from Reporters Without Borders. Investigative journalist Georgios Karaivas was killed in an attack in the middle of the day outside his home in April last year. RSF has said the investigation into his death has not made progress. The Greek capital is a stronghold for anarchist groups that have carried out repeated attacks on newspapers, government offices, and political party offices. So it does sound like that may have been politically motivated in some way. Hearing something they don't like on the radio, let's try to take the radio station down.
Yeah, it's not. Let's not take that for granted, too, because, you know, it's not like Greece is as bad as some other countries around the world in terms of freedoms. And that means that, you know, if we have stations that are able to give out the news the way they want to report it without having any incidents, let's be happy, because you never know anywhere around the world where this can happen when you talk about something that somebody doesn't want to or doesn't like.
It's odd, because it does sound like a fairly balanced station. They identify themselves, as it said, center left, featuring both pro and anti-government voices. So
yeah,
maybe one side didn't like they had what they had to say about them. I don't know. Interesting, yeah. Though.
So we have upcoming ham radio contests.
And an event.
And an event.
We have something coming up. We had the first activation of the CIDX club stations. Some of you hopefully had the chance to either work Jill or work Don and Mickey out in Alberta. You have another activation of the Quebec station, the Montreal station, coming up.
Yep. I'm hoping this one's going to get a little more attention because I had a hard time. Not because my signal was not getting out, actually. I had a hard time because finding just a spot where it's quiet was the most difficult thing on 20 meters last week.
Yeah, the band was really crowded, and some big, big signals too from a lot of stations that were, you know, any weaker signal was just getting walked all over. But at least the guys at West, they had, you know, they were using a very sophisticated operation out there, and they had some pretty good success. But, well, we'll see what happens this week.
So I'll be, of course, using the VE2AQP, Canadian International DX Club Amateur Radio Club Station. I will be active from Montreal, and this is, of course, going to be operated by me. I'll be on 40 meters July 31st at 22 hours Universal Time, and it's going to go through August 1st, 02 hours UTC, so another 4 hours of AM radio contacts. I'll be on 40 meters. Now, I didn't know that when I chose a frequency, so I'll be probably hopping around. The frequency I'll show up on is 7150. Now, 7150 has one major problem in the United States. If you just have a general class license, apparently, you cannot reach or contact on that frequency. So I will start on 7150. I'll make some contacts. I'll see who I can hear and contact there. And I'll be at some point in that 4 hours moving up. And I'll go up probably closer to maybe 7190, where people will actually be able to contact me even from the general class licensees in the U.S. We'll start at 7150. Maybe what you could do is monitor 7150. If you hear me, I'll mention where I'm going to go up on the air so that you'll know what frequency I'm going to be moving up at that point. So, of course, this is to mark the 60th anniversary of CIDX. And you can send your shortwave reception reports to info@CIDXclub.ca. Correct reports will receive special CIDX EQSL, as well as a free sample copy of the CIDX Bulletin, the messenger.
Yeah, we should mention on 40 meters, unlike last week where the transmissions are in upper sideband, on the 40-meter band, you'll be using lower sideband.
Yes.
So if you have selectable sideband on your transceiver or your receiver, you'll need to put it into the LSB mode in order to get the clear signals. There's one big contest coming up next weekend as well. This one is a lot of fun. It's run by the Radio Society of Great Britain, and it's the Islands on the Air contest. And guess who lives on an island? You do, Shil.
Yes, I do.
You live on the Big Island of Montreal, which classifies in this contest as well. The IOTA contest is an HF contest. It's on all the HF bands. It's based on the RSGB's Island on the Air Award program, which recently celebrated its 50th anniversary. It's called IOTA, I-O-T-A, for Islands on the Air. The IOTA idea was conceived in 1964 by a British shortwave listener, Jeff Watts, who's silent key now, who imagined that those of us who live in crowded cities would love to set up a station on a sunny beach among palm trees. That's not going to happen in Montreal, but no. Maybe on some other island. This prospect is appealing to radio amateurs, even if the island in question might not be further away from the UK mainland than the Isle of Wight, for example. Now, you can go to the IOTA website and see a full list of all the IOTA islands. And literally, some of these are like a rock in the middle of the water somewhere, where some guys go out and slap up an antenna and turn on the radio, and away they go. So we'll put the link up. It's iota-world.org, so iota-world.org, and you'll see all the information relating to this special program, the Islands on the Air Awards program, and of course this coming weekend, July 30th, 1200 Zulu to 1200 Zulu, July 31st. All of these islands will be on the air, so you can either tune them in, listener, as a shortwave listener, or try to work them if you're a ham operator.
Here I could be on a beach, but it will be in between a maple tree and a pine tree.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, a little bit different. No palm trees, unless you get one of those plastic ones.
Yeah.
But yeah, do check it out. It's a lot of fun. There's some really interesting and exotic places that are islands on the air during this event. So we'll put up links to all this on our Facebook page for you.
And we are out of time.
We thank you for tuning in. We will, as I just said, put up all our stories on our Facebook group for you so you can get all the details. And we do invite you to send along any stories that you come across that you think we might find interesting to include on our program for our listeners. We thank you for tuning in. We'll do it again next Sunday with the next edition of the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in the Big Island of Montreal. Have a great week, everybody.
Bye-bye.
This summer, I'm going to avoid spreading COVID-19. It's easy. I'll wear a mask in crowded places. If I have symptoms, I'll self-isolate and do a rapid test. If I test positive, I'll stay home for at least 5 days. And for the next 5 days, I won't visit anyone who's at risk. I'll avoid social events like festivals and gatherings. And I'll limit my activities to only the most essential, all while wearing a mask and staying 2 meters away from others. The virus is still out there, so we have to be careful. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
The following is a previously broadcast program.
United Nations.